Welcome. It's the Long Coat Mafia, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast. The Long Coat Mafia podcast is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. And this week, I have a special treat for all of you out there that just watched WrestleMania for this year. And that being said, I hope, because this episode is being recorded, or at least the intro is being recorded prior to the broadcast of WrestleMania, I seriously hope the wrestler or wrestlers that you are cheering for in this year's WrestleMania won their matches. And I hope it was a very interesting and fun and entertaining WrestleMania. And I won't know myself until I watch it this upcoming Sunday. Now, that being said, let me say this. We graciously thank both Gene Snitsky and for those at Forest State Comic Con to let us record this panel, because this is the Gene Snitsky Q&A panel. And for those who are not familiar with wrestling, Gene Snitsky is a former WWE wrestler. So, and that being said, that somewhat brief intro, let me give you the disclaimers as always. One, this is not our, it's our content, but we're not providing what is said in this week's episode. Similarly to all our other panel episodes, we're just sharing this panel with all of you out there. Well, we do this when we ask permission and get permission to record panels. It's for those who could not attend the con. That's number one. Number two, those who seem to have missed the panel in any way, shape, or form, meaning if they couldn't make it on Saturday to hear this panel, they were able to come on Sunday. This is the way for them to get that that content and kind of attend that panel. As for all you fans out there that want to get more WWE type content or kind of Q&As from wrestlers, that being said, as well, let me move to the second part of this disclaimer. This is only recorded with one microphone, and even though it came very well, but there is some kind of audio issues that happen, because the type of mic that we use, sometimes when we set up a mic to get questions from the audience, it doesn't really pick up a lot of that. So even with the one mic, and because we were given permission to record the panel maybe about 2 minutes in, we were kind of quote-unquote secretly recording, and so we could get the whole panel and nothing but the panel. So therefore, for the first 2 minutes, it's kind of boosted up to get the best audio quality I could give all of you. And I couldn't really cut anything out of this episode, because Gene Snitsky was engaging the audience and the crowd a lot, including one of my bad questions that I had, because I misthought. I had a lot of things going on in my head. I just phrased the question wrong. So because of the stuff coming in from the audience and him engaging the audience, I could not delete anything coming from the audience. So what I did was I boosted what I could from the audience, so you could understand the context of what Gene Snitsky was trying to answer. So that way it just didn't seem hodgepodge of what he was saying. And a lot of the awkward pauses and pauses that he said in the panel, if I cut them down, it would not have seemed right. So this is the panel in basically its entirety. So I'm going to step back. I hope all of you out there enjoy this panel, and I'll see all of you on the other side.
Tell everybody, how did you get started in wrestling? What got you into it? What was the first match you recall seeing when you were a youngster?
Well, when I was 10 years old, I was kind of flipping through the channels, and where I grew up, we had WOR TV, I think, out of New York, it was. And I came across of all people, it sounds sort of cliche, but Hulk Hogan. And he was in the midst of one of his, you know, world famous promos. And as a 10-year-old, you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. This guy's larger than life. This is awesome. So that kind of caught my attention. Started watching after that. And when I was a kid, it was Saturday Superstars, I believe they called it. So every morning, I'd watch wrestling. Then I kind of progressed to, you know, there was the Prism Network. For anybody that remembers the Philadelphia cable station Prism. And we had the contraption that hooked onto the back of the TV with the aluminum foil to get the illegal cable. And started doing that to watch Prism Wrestling. It was Spectrum Wrestling from Philly on Prism. So that's kind of how it progressed for me. But I could always remember, like in the back of my mind, I was like, man, I don't think I can do that someday. And I continued to get bigger and stronger and more into sports, and was always the top athlete before I went to school and all that kind of stuff. So it was one of those things where as I got bigger, stronger, and more athletic, I was like, well, hell, I could do that, and I could do that, and I'm as big as that guy. So it's kind of just like a natural progression for me. But I was always playing football and basketball and baseball. And I don't know if anybody knows my history, but I played collegiately at Missouri, the University of Missouri. I was first team All-State in Pennsylvania in football, basketball as well. Starting center for the Keystone State Games in basketball as a 6'6 white guy. So that should tell you a little something about my basketball prowess. Just kind of always had in the back of my mind, no matter what happened with football or basketball or sports in general, I always wanted to give wrestling a shot. So, make a long story short, I was a 2-year starter at Missouri, 3-year letterman, played under Coach Andy Reid, who's now the Chiefs coach. He was my offensive line coach.
Go Chiefs.
I'm a Chiefs fan for the AFC.
Yeah.
I don't like the Steelers. My wife's a Steelers fan, so that's a little knock on the wife. Which happens to be in attendance, everyone. Let's hear it from my lovely wife, Carolyn. The hot blonde in the Wonder Woman shirt back there. Sounds so cliche as well, the hot blonde. She's so much more than that. She's the really hot blonde. I crack myself up. But she keeps... she'll be begging me for sex later. It's a family show, right? Okay. But she's awesome. She keeps the Snitsky train rolling. She's my workout partner, my sex slave. Did I say that out loud? Sorry about that. Where was I? Missouri. Andy Reid was my offensive line coach. He left to go to Green Bay. Then I was fortunate enough to play for Marty Morningwig, who was the head coach of Detroit Lions for a while. And he's with Baltimore. He's with Baltimore now, I think, still.
I think so. Yeah.
The Ravens, yeah. He was my offensive line coach after Andy left. I was fortunate enough to have a really good senior year at Missouri. Although the team didn't do that well, we did lose a lot of close games, so we were very competitive, but I think our record was 5-6 or something like that. But I got invited to the NFL Combines as one of the top players in the country, went to the NFL Combines, worked out for all the teams. Unfortunately, I had torn my labrum in college, but it was misdiagnosed by the Missouri staff as a subluxed shoulder. So when I went to the NFL Combines, they ran an MRI on it because they always check out your pre-existing injuries. And I found out I had a torn labrum in my shoulder. Still got signed to the Chargers. I had 3 teams interested. Green Bay, L.A., and the Chargers, I think, were the teams that offered me deals. Signed with the Chargers. Went to camp with them. Shoulder kept getting worse. I thought, you know, as a 22, 23-year-old kid, you're like, it doesn't bother me that much. I can play through it. But when it got to the point where I stood and let my arms relax and my arm rolled out of the socket, it was probably not good. So, at the time, my agent, his buddy, was the team physician for the Steelers. Ugh. But he did my surgery. Had surgery in June 30th of 1993. So, I'm not the youngest tool in the shed, but I am the hardest hitting hammer in the shed. I just like that little play on words there. That's pretty good, right? I'm not just another pretty face.
Yeah. Any other?
Don't interrupt my story. I'm not done yet. All
right.
So after that, I showed the surgery with the Steelers physician, came back from that in about 2 years, played for the CFL, Birmingham Barracudas, when they did the American teams. That sucked. Don't ever play Canadian football. It's terrible. No offense to Canadians out there, but it's terrible. American football is much better. Anyways, retired from football in 96. 98, started training with the Wild Samoans in Allentown. That's where I trained at, the Rock's uncle. And you guys all know the lineage of that family. Probably the most... I trained with the Rock's uncle off of the Wild Samoans. That's who trained me. I went to his camp in Allentown, Pennsylvania. But you guys all know the lineage there. Probably the top family in the history of wrestling. Trained there. Was fortunate enough, you know, with my athletic background. I picked it up really fast. Kind of went through the ranks really quick. I was their heavyweight champion for a while. Pops got me... my first dark match ever was at Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Had my dark match in October of 2003. Signed with WWE in 04, June of 04, I think it was. Went to Louisville, was where WWE camp was then, OVW. Was very fortunate because I got through that really quick and started on TV that September. So I was very lucky. I got through it quick, picked everything up fast, had a good look. Still do. Still pretty jacked. Still ruggedly handsome.
Yeah.
Still have an amazing beard. Right?
Definitely.
Thank you. So, yeah, I was, took advantage of the opportunity. And the crazy thing is, like, all my friends from college and all my buddies from high school were like, man, I can remember you telling us you were going to do that shit, that crazy wrestling stuff. I was like, I told you. So it's like I was 14, 15 years old, tell people, you're going to see me on Sunday playing NFL or Monday Night Raw. So fortunately, I was, you know, got a taste of both. And one of my most proud moments was when I got inducted into the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame last year in May. So that was pretty awesome. Always wanted to be recognized for my athletic achievements. So I'll be forever in the history of Pennsylvania sports recognized for all the cool things I've done. And it's not done yet because I'm only 49. I got a lot to go yet. So don't ever, for any of the younger guys out there, don't ever let anybody tell you can't do something because I'm from a shithole town of 3,000 people. No offense to Nesquehoning, but there's really nothing there. It's a small coal mining town which has one stoplight. But I knew someday I was going to do something, whether it was football, wrestling, or, you know, something. I just knew I was going to do something. And I would tell whoever would listen. And those same people were like, you're crazy. And then, go figure, they came back for autographs. Isn't that crazy how that works?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. But so that's like my crowning achievement, so to speak. Pretty proud of the fact that I got recognized for my whole athletic endeavor, not only wrestling but football and, you know, all the other nonsense I did. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. So
awesome.
You were gonna ask.
All right, so tell everybody about your belt there. There's a good story behind that. There's a good charity you're working with, isn't there? I believe you told me about that before.
I'm very fortunate as well to be able to touch a lot of lives with the charity stuff. I'm proud of that too, obviously. You know, it's when I was a kid, I could, you know, still vividly remember, like, Wilbert Montgomery was signing autographs at the Lehighton Acme or something. Lanco in Lehighton, Pennsylvania. And I was a diehard Eagles fan. I still am to this day. Actually went to the Super Bowl when they went. So I got to see them win their first Super Bowl in person. That was cool. But so I can remember, like, bugging the shit out of my mom and dad. You got to take me to see this guy. I got to go meet him. Blah, blah, blah. My dad was working, my mom worked in a sewing factory, my dad worked in a pressure casting plant for 43, 45 years. So, needless to say, Gene didn't get to go see Wilbert Montgomery. So, for me to be able to go and, like, meet the kids and the fans and all the people that watch you on TV, it's kind of cool. Because I always wanted to be, you know, meeting all these guys when I was a kid, and I never got the chance to. Because my parents, you know, worked their ass off to provide for me. So, you got to give and take, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's cool to be able to, you know, meet the kids and do the autism stuff. This is my autism foundation belt. I do a lot of work with the Buffalo Customs Autism and also the Bustin' for Autism people out of Houston. So it's cool to meet the kids and try to bring awareness to the cause, and I also do some stuff for the Pennsylvania Wounded Warriors. We do a Gettysburg Battlefield Bash every year. That's really fun. I'm running a military surplus shop now, so it's cool. I get to work with a lot of, you know, former veterans and military guys, and, you know, help them out, and, you know, it's just cool to be able to interact with all the people and hear the stories. And, you know, when I was with WWE, one of my best moments was when we did the Tribute to the Troops show in Afghanistan. That's still, to this day, my favorite thing ever. Going to meet all the guys and just the smiles on their faces, and, you know, just hearing somebody say that, you know, they were so excited to meet you. It's still crazy to me. as a guy from Nesquehoney, to just have that effect on somebody. No, I just like to help people, you know. They approached me, and the guy that started it's a big fan of mine. He's like, hey, I got this idea, you know, I'd like to do a belt and, you know, promote it and blah, blah. I was like, yeah, that's great. I'd love to help, you know. But, like, to me, it's just so cool to see the smile on their faces, and the kids that meet you, they're like, you know, it's just, it's crazy to me that someone gets that excited to meet you. Like, it's just me.
So we posted one of your matches on our Facebook page when we were promoting your appearance here on our 4-State Comic-Con Facebook page. It was when you main evented Raw. It was you and Cena in a lumberjack match. I thought we put the whole match up there. It was really good work. I thought, do you have any specific memories from that match or that night you can share? Working Cena?
Nothing specific in my mind, but I mean, like, every time Cena and I would work, it was great. Like, he's so easy to wrestle. I think that's part of the reason why he's been there so long and one of the top guys. Because he, you know, whoever he's in there with makes him look better. It's easy. It's like, not to give too much away from the magic of pro wrestling, but, you know, working with him, you know, he'd help you along and, you know, stuff like that. It was just cool because, you know, you're obviously on main event on Raw, which is awesome. And back then we were getting a lot of viewers. I don't keep abreast of the numbers now, but I
think
it's a lot
for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a lot lower now than it was then.
Yeah,
but yeah. So anytime you get the opportunity to headline Raw is cool, and then you get to wrestle Cena on top of it, which is cool. So you take two cools, and you think you get cool, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Hell of a tag team, too cool.
Yeah. But it's funny because I always, like, if I meet somebody and they start talking about John Cena, I'm like, well, John's a cool guy, but feel my ribs. And then they feel my rib, and I have, like, this calcification over my one rib because John gave me one of them sidewalk slam things he does out of the corner. And guess where John landed? Right on my ribs. And broke my rib. So it's a funny little John Cena story. Ironically, you asked me.
Yeah.
But I always tell people, I'm like, yeah, feel my rib. That's from John Cena. Oh, my God, really? It's kind of funny.
You did that? Yeah. All right, I don't want to hold up the whole panel. Does anyone else have any questions out there? Raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Are you still putting out your beard oil?
Sort of, kind of. I had it, it's kind of a double-edged sword. It was new. It was a new product, and it was starting to take off so fast that my supplier couldn't keep up with the demand. So we kind of had to put it on the back burner until he got his production up. So it's still kind of a WIP, work in progress. But yeah, it's still out there. BigGeneSnitsky.com. You can still order it online.
I can testify from experience. Yeah. I bought some from you last time you're at the show.
It's pretty awesome.
It works. It's great. Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get yourself a beard like this, you might get a 6'1" hot blonde like I got.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, maybe not. It's probably not going to happen for you, but you can always grow a beard.
What was the first frivolous thing that you bought when you were famous?
Frivolous? There's nothing frivolous, young lady. Everything has a meaning.
To me, yes, it does, but...
That's a tough one. That's a...
Poor.
I was never poor.
Dream of having, and then something that you can actually bring up.
Well, fortunately, I was never poor. like I said, my mom and dad provided pretty well for me. They busted their ass to get stuff for the kids. I had a brother who unfortunately died early, but I never went without. I always had new sneakers for basketball, always had cleats for football. But by no means were my family wealthy. But when I made the big time and actually had like a lot of money, I think, did I get the Rolex first or the Hummer first? I might have got a Hummer first. But I always wanted a Rolex too, so I bought one of them. And then I got a motorcycle and a Viper and a Mustang. But yeah, it was fun. Yeah, so, you know, it happens.
All right, who's next? Anybody?
Oh, not you again! Jesus, someone else, please.
Okay, I'll give it up.
I'm teasing, go ahead. Nah, I'm not kidding. Who's next? No, I'm serious, go ahead.
You recently were part of Bottom Creek. Would you be looking to do other acting roles in the future?
Well, I actually co-produced and wrote and starred and did the stunt coordinating for my movie called 100 Acres of Hell. You guys could all check that out. It's going to be coming out soon. We just signed a production deal with Indican, or a distribution deal, rather, with Indican. So that should be hopefully out this year. We actually won the film festival in Philly as the best horror film. It's 100acresofhell.com. Check it out. The trailer's pretty sweet. It's quick synopsis is I get down in the dumps because I had an injury. My buddies try to take me out, cheer me up, and then kind of turns into a lot of death, chaos, and blood spatter. But you'll have to go check out 100acresofhell.com for that. I can't give it all away.
Who else is in it?
Samu. Said earlier about, you know, trained with the Samoans. So, you know, at least I could do is get them in my movie. So Alpha Jr. was his stunt double. Alpha and I did all the fight scenes and all the stunts. Sam was the killer in the movie, Jeb Tucker. My character's name's Buck Seavers. I'm not saying it because I did the movie, but it's actually a really good movie. I was pretty proud of the fact that we won the film festival in Philly, because it's not like it's a film festival in East Bumfuck, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like an actual good film festival. Excuse my French for anybody that speaks French out there. Comment allez-vous? Vive le vent?
Yeah.
No? Okay. French fries?
Yeah.
No, that's my wife. The blonde. Why do I keep saying the blonde? She's so much more than a blonde. Just the easiest to point out because, you know, she's jacked. She's blonde. She's hot. She's tall. Smart. Can't forget smart.
Yeah.
She's a bank manager. She has to be smart. She's good with numbers.
Sweet.
Right? Why don't you stand up and do a swirl or something?
Like Wonder Woman. the Wonder Woman swirl.
I love doing that to her because she's like the biggest, like I'm so over the top and out there with everything. And she's always like, please don't say nothing about me. Please. It's funny. Sorry, honey. I love you. No, that won't happen. No, she won't even stand to be recognized. She's not going to come sit up on stage.
Question back here in the Redskins jersey.
What was it like working with Vince? I mean, Vince?
Actually, Vince and I got along great. It was the writers that I always had the problems with. Vince was awesome. Like, I got along great with Vince. There's actually a picture I still have somewhere. When we did the Tribute to the Troop show, we had to fuel the plane in Germany at the Air Force Base. And we had like free reign of this bar on base, and everyone's all like hammered. And there's a picture of me and Vince like holding each other, and we're like, hey. he's a cool dude. I got along great with him. My beef was always with the writers, because no offense to comic book guys and non-athletes, but like there was a staff of writers that never played sports, never did anything other than read comic books and write stories. Which there's nothing wrong with that. Don't take it the wrong way, but they're trying to tell me how to be me, you know? And it's like, I always had struggles between the writing staff, so that's kind of what led to me leaving. But as far as like Vince and the staff of like guys that worked there, it was great. Like, I loved it. It was just constantly butting heads with the with the storyline and stories and what they wanted to do and what I wanted to do. And I mean, it's like any other job, you know, not everybody gets along with their manager. Not everybody gets along with their coworkers. You know, it's the same as anything else, just on a whole different level, you know. But I have no regrets. I loved it. I mean, I still love it. This is my 21st year of doing it. So, you know, if I wouldn't love doing it, I wouldn't be sitting here. I love the fans. I love interacting with the guys. I like hearing the stories. I like, you know, seeing the fans. Because a lot of the guys, you know, in any realm, be it movies, wrestling, football, the guys get, you know, popular or get to a certain level, and then they don't want to talk to nobody. It's like, oh, I can't take a picture. I can't do an autograph. Ah. Like, I've never refused an autograph. I've never refused a picture. I love all that stuff. Like, I love it. It's great. I love the fans. You know, if there was no fans, there'd be no wrestling. There'd be no Comic-Cons. There'd be no anything. Mm-hmm. You know? So without you guys, if guys fail to realize that, they get bigger than the actual sport or the actual field they're in, and then it ruins it. Because as a wrestling fan, if I went up to somebody, like, I've been a wrestling fan all my life. If I ran up to somebody that I liked and was like, yeah, and they were like, oh, sorry, kid, I can't give you an autograph. I'd be like, what a dick. Right? Yeah, so I don't want to be a dick.
Any other questions? Yep.
What was the toughest wrestler that you fought?
Like in real life or?
In the WWE.
that's a tough one. Big Show is tough. He was just so big. Like, I gave him a belly-to-back suplex one time. I swore my testicles were still laying on the floor over there. He was heavy. Yeah. But my back, like, hate to bring up a sore subject, but Benoit was probably my favorite guy to wrestle. Like, him and I always had solid matches. Like, if you guys go back to YouTube and watch all our ECW stuff when I was doing my ECW stuff with him, we were doing, like, hardcore matches. And I mean, they were great. Like, I loved that. That was awesome. So he was probably my favorite guy besides Glenn to actually wrestle. But Big Show or Mark Henry are probably the two biggest guys that you, like, couldn't really do much with because they're just so big.
Like, I guess it's hard to fake some of those moves.
Well, when Big Show smacks you, it hurts. You ain't going to lie about that. That
so
hurts.
It really is connected. It's not,
well, yeah.
I mean, like, because you can tell when you're live some of those kicks. Are,
well, yeah, I mean, that's
but some of the
that's the true art of pro wrestling.
Exactly.
Making it look real without really crushing someone's head.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I was just showing somebody earlier, I got hit with a chair. I have a scar across the back of my head. I had 9 staples in my head. And you always hear people say, oh, how do you guys fake those chair shots?
Yeah.
Like, really? Really, dude?
Is that ketchup? Or?
Yeah. Like, how do you fake that blood?
Yeah.
Come here, I'll show you.
Yeah,
yeah, so it's, you know, it is what it is.
Years ago, that's what they used to do.
Well, I can't confirm or deny because I never saw it or did it. Like, when I got busted open, I got busted open. Like, there was a... Oh, jeez, which pay-per-view was it? Maven was supposed to hit me with a flying forearm, and his elbow literally went into my eye socket, and I felt my eye crunch, and there was just literally blood squirting out of my head. And I was like, oh, that can't be good. And I had to hit chair shots on Orton, Jericho, and Maven.
Yeah.
So needless to say, Maven got a nice, real good chair shot. I swung for the fences on that one. Yeah, I think it was Survivor Series, maybe.
That sounds right, yeah.
2005?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He freaking broke my orbital bone. Like, my skin was fairly hanging down. I couldn't see. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Saw, like, triple out of my eye for, like, 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, that sucked.
I can relate to that a little bit right now. This isn't broken, but it's not feeling good.
Yeah, that sucks, dude. It was the worst thing ever. Like, trying to sleep, trying to do anything, you know. And not, just close one of your eyes and try making it through the day.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked.
Yeah.
They were there. I did a couple storylines with Edge, with the Lita thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he was fun to work with. Yeah, like 2005, 2006, 2007-ish. Because I was tag teaming with Edge for a while. Me and him were wrestling Kane and Big Show a lot back then.
She mentioned the Hardys. Hardys, everyone knows that Lita's with the Hardys. That's a perfect segue into your storyline with Lita, with the baby.
Well, that's pretty much, I guess, what everyone seems to remember most.
Yeah.
I always get the, you know, the it's not my fault. Pretty much daily, which is cool because as a performer, you like to be remembered. So it's nice that people still remember it all these years later, because that was in 2004. So if my math is stellar like it usually is, that's 15 years
ago. Yeah.
Right? No, I don't think so. There's a funny story about the baby punt, though. We were rehearsing it, and Vince is like, now, whatever you do, don't fuck it up. Don't miss it. I was like, Vince, I was an all-area punter on my football team. I'm not going to miss it. And it's funny, because when we were cleaning the house, I found the old thing where I got the all-area punter plaque thing. And I was showing my wife. I'm like, I told you. It's a true story. I actually was all-area punter, too, so.
Yeah.
Hey. Yes, in the Redskins. Boo Redskins, but you can ask your question.
Is there anybody coming up in the independent wrestling companies that you see good potential for?
Honestly, I don't keep up with too many of the worldwide indie scenes. Like I could, like maybe, you know. I still stay active, like, with WXW. Gino Caruso's thing out of Jersey. What the hell is it called? Oh, jeez. This is terrible. Can't remember the name of the Fed. I just always go by the promoter anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember the names of the Feds anymore.
Jersey Opera?
Nah, it's Northeast Championship Wrestling or something.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a couple guys that, you know, might be able to get a tryout or something. But the thing is now, like, with NXT, like, they're just bringing any old person in and throwing them against the wall and seeing if they stick. The old spaghetti method, you know?
So they don't have any pre-requirements?
You see some of the guys they got? You can answer your own question.
I like New Japan myself.
Yeah, I like Japan.
Yeah.
Japan's cool. Go to Ribeiro's, get a good steak, get a jacket. No, no. It's so watered down now. Like, you couldn't do my storyline back now, the one I did with the kicking the baby doll and all that. There's no way you could do that now.
No.
There'd be like a boycott of WWE. Because I can still remember it. As soon as I kicked the baby and I went out of the ring. Oh, no, you know what? It was actually when I hit Glenn with the chair. He fell on Lita and killed the baby. I got out of the ring and I already started chanting, baby, kill her. And I was like, so I knew right away it was going to take off. I just knew. Because, like, that was awesome. Like, literally started that chant right then. So, funny story about that real quick. I go back to Louisville for OVW. Jimmy Cornette's running it. Going to TV on Wednesday. He looks at me and goes, Snitsky, get the hell out of my sight. I'm like, what? He's like, I can't have you on my TV showing people yelling, baby killer. I'm like, ah, sweet, I get to watch the show. So I, like, to do nothing, I was getting paid. It was great. Yeah, it's funny. He's like, I can't have you out here. So I, like, sat up in the rafters watching the show. So no one saw me. It's funny. Yeah, it kind of had a life of its own. It's crazy how the whole it's not my fault thing took off. Because I had people asking me, did you come up with that? Or, like, I came up with it, but I didn't think about it. Like, I was getting interviewed by JR, and I was like, well, it's not my fault she was in the ring. She shouldn't have been in the ring. And then literally that fast, it turned into a catchphrase. Like, that's all I said. Like, I didn't put no thought into it. It just came out. And they're like, did you come up with that? I'm like, yeah. I did. You know? Just kind of, like, they always say the best shit happens just on its own. So, as they say, it's organic. Right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Star Trek.
What's your favorite Star Trek movie?
The ones that I don't watch. I'm not a Trekkie, no offense.
Star Wars?
No.
Nah.
Or Star... You say Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
I said I'm not a Trekkie.
Well, were you Star Wars? No, some people were one of
the other. Batman! How do you like a new Batman watch? My wife got it for me for my birthday.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet, if I say so myself. And the watch ain't bad either. You get it? Pretty quick. There's no off position on the genius switch, just saying. Right?
That's right.
What were you saying there, buddy? Oh, God. Are we talking Batman now?
It's Comic-Con.
You got 3 hours?
Yeah.
It's funny because I just saw a video of a guy that dropped $150,000 to make his basement a Batcave theater. Did you see that? Anybody see that? Oh, I said, I'm yelling out to my wife, Carolyn, you got to see this basement. She's like, because our basement now is like all gym. I have all my gym down there. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it look cool as a Batcave gym?
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, I love Batman. I can remember, like, as a kid, running home from school to watch Batman, and then, like, it would end with the tune in next week at the same bad time, same bad channel. And I would get so mad, and I'd be like, Mom, I want to know what happened! She's like, you gotta wait. I'm like, I don't want to wait! Like, it used to drive me nuts. Like, it's, I always hated that. I'm an instant gratification kind of guy. Drove me nuts. But I had my little bat cave, I had my bat signal, I had my bat car, my batmobile, my Batman, my Robin, my Joker, Penguin. I still do. My office, it's all Batman stuff. I got one of the young ladies that's here, actually. She does the hand-printed superhero stuff. She made me a Batman. It's in my office, I got that. I got one of the original prints from Bob Kane, signed by Bob Kane. How cool is that? Yeah. Yeah. I got the clock, the alarm clock that talks to you. Remember that one? As a kid, that was my alarm clock. Wind it up, wait for Batman to wake you up in the morning. My Batman under the ruse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I still wear them, too. I got all kind of stuff. Batman jumpsuit. My wife and I got married as Batman and Robin. True story, yeah.
Who was Robin?
Who do you think? It's pretty damn hot Robin, too.
Yeah.
But, I'm 100% Batman, but I got a lot of Punisher stuff. I got a lot of Deadpool stuff. I got a lot of Superman stuff, Hulk stuff. I got them all, man. But I'm a more of a Batman guy than any of them, but I've got them all. I just like superheroes in general. When I was a kid, I used to drive my mom nuts because I had the little shoot thing that shot the suction cup. Remember those? The Spider-Man thing?
Yeah.
And I'd run through the house, yell to my mom, watch this! Jump and dive on the couch. She'd be like, that's nice. That's nice. Like, my poor mother drove her nuts. But it was fun. Except for the time I knocked the Christmas tree over.
Oh, no.
Then we got the spoon.
The wooden spoon?
No, the metal spoon.
Oh, the metal spoon.
My mom goes big or goes home.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the metal spoon. And my mom's big like my wife. She's like 5'10", big German woman. Needless to say, it didn't feel good. And then I had to wait for my dad to get home from work. And then he gave me the belt. And you know how that goes. They crack the belt to let you know they're coming. Oh, yeah. It's my dad. That was fun. Well, it's funny because... Yeah, I know, exactly. It's funny because my mom, like, I can remember, like, when someone would call a house, she'd be like, Big Gene or Little Gene? And Little Gene got bigger than Big Gene, so then it turned into, which Gene are you calling for? It's kind of funny. Because I was taller than my dad when I was 12 years old. My dad's 6'1", 6 foot. I was like 6'2 at 12 years old. It's crazy. As skinny as a tree. Yeah, I look back at pictures, it cracks me up. How you can be that skinny, Lee. Yeah. All right, anyways.
Who's next?
What else we got? Oh, you're hogging all the time, lady.
Well, nobody else would ask me.
You don't give him a chance.
Hey,
I'm teasing. Go ahead.
Do you have to take any special supplements, like vitamins or whatever, for your muscles to stay in shape?
I'm actually sponsored by a supplement company called Vitargo. It's a scientifically engineered supercarbohydrate that helps you to recover faster and replenish all your glycogen from when you work out. So that's like my main item that I use. And then protein, pretty much anything that's on sale, because they're all pretty much the same. As long as there's whey, like whey protein, any type. I mean, your body doesn't know the difference, to be honest with you, I don't think. I mean, protein's protein, whether you get it from a steak or a shake. Or I just try to eat when I'm hungry. I don't really follow too strict of a diet because I work out pretty hard. Like I said, my basement's my gym. So, and I've been working out consistently since I'm like 14. So I think it's just more consistency than anything. You know, if you stay with something long enough, you tend to get good at it. Same thing with weightlifting. If you just, you know, if you consistently work out and push yourself, like the saying goes, you know, hard work pays off. You just got to keep, you know, training. But I was always fortunate to be a bigger guy and strong. Like, I never really, like, I never, like, never took steroids, never had to do drugs, never, like, I was just always big. Like, when I was a kid, my dad would get a ton of coal dropped in the front yard, and I'd get home from school and have to shovel it in the coal buckets, carry it up around the house, drop it into the coal bin in the back. So I've always been doing something, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, obviously going to develop strength. That's, you know, you don't see that happening much these days. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's just consistency. Like, if you do anything, I would say, my little saying is, a little of something's a whole lot better than a lot of nothing. Mm-hmm. So even if you just get your ass off the couch and try to do something, you're still ahead of the game.
Yeah.
You know?
But I also know old age takes things from you.
Well, like I said, you know, I've been consistently working out since I was 14. I'm 49, so that's 35 years. So obviously I'm not, you know, what's a good word to use? I'm not as inclined to develop muscle as I used to be just because of age, but what I have, I use a lot of, so it stays active. So it's not gonna, I mean, it's no, you can't turn muscle to fat. It's two different compounds. So as long as you already have the muscle and keep working it, it's going to respond. It's like anything else. Like, look at when you, like, for instance, if you broke your arm and you had a cast on, the arm with your cast always gets smaller because you're not doing nothing with it. See what I'm saying? So if you keep doing something,
yeah,
it's at least going to maintain its size. You know, and throw in cardio and diet. Like, there's times of the year I'll get real strict with my diet and do a lot of cardio. Then I'll get real lean. Like, this isn't really lean for me. This is just me. But, you know.
Do you do any DDP yoga? That's, I know that's
no.
Big.
No, the only yoga I do is the horizontal shuffle. Yeah. Get it? Horizontal shuffle?
Yeah.
Well, they're all before my time, but it would have been cool to wrestle The Rock or like Stone Cold or those guys. I never got to work with them. I worked with Undertaker a lot, Cena. Yeah, I mean, those guys I would have liked to work with. But I worked with all the top guys when I was there. CM Punk, Cena, Taker, Kane, Big Show, Orton. Like, I wrestled all those guys.
Rey Mysterio too, I think.
Mysterio, yeah. A bunch of times. Yeah. So, I mean, I had a great, well, not had a great career. I have a great career. I mean, like I said, I'm just a guy from Nescohony, man. I chased the dream. I made it happen. Anybody could do it. You just got to have it in your mind that you're going to do it. And stick with it. Just stick it out. It's all consistency, like I said, man. If you think you could do it, you will. If you think you can't, you won't. It's pretty much as simple as that. Your mind controls so much of what you do. You know? What's that? I thought someone was
there. Maybe it's people up there.
Yeah, you want to keep it down up there? Maybe come up there.
Cosplayers. All right, question for you. This will be for all the internet fans. What's your thoughts on AEW, Cody's new promotion that he's starting with the Young Bucks, and they've got financial backing from the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, as they say in in the business world, any competition is good competition because it's going to bring out the best in everybody. So I think it's exactly what wrestling needs. Because ever since, you know, WCW folded, TNA doesn't seem to be wanting to do anything. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like it's time for somebody to emerge and challenge WWE. I think it's great. And Cody's a good kid. I wrestled Cody a bunch of times. I tag teamed with his brother a bunch of times. I'm not familiar with the roster, but, I mean, Jericho's there. JR's going to announce. I mean, it looks like it's shaping up to be pretty solid.
Yeah, they're bringing people from New Japan and even independents in China and Mexico. They're working with AAA.
Yeah, that's cool.
So they're making deals with everybody.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, like I said, man, it needs competition because WWE's gotten stale. I mean, everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, something has to happen. It's like anything else. Sooner or later, people are going to get sick of the same thing being regurgitated over and over and over. It's just the way the world is, you know?
We tape it on the DVR so we can fast forward from there for the matches. Because all
yeah.
we do is talk.
Yeah.
It's not like back in the old days.
No. Well, it's PG now. It's corporate.
Yeah.
They have their sponsors they have to satisfy. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. Like I said, I could never do my storyline now. No way.
Well, they keep saying it's PG, but have you ever seen the
Yeah, but look at it now compared to back then, though. They had, you know, bikini matches and lingerie matches, and
yeah.
Now it's like they have their underwear up their ass, but ooh, well.
Female
yeah.
division now, yeah. Which they should have had years
yeah.
ago.
Well, should have, could have, would have. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. But the thing with WWE is, no matter what happens in the world of wrestling, people are always going to watch it. There's always a small percentage of people, no matter how bad it gets or how good it gets, that are always going to tune in every Monday. It's just the way it is. Let's face it.
I wish they would change it before Edge's wife left,
yeah.
Because she was awesome.
Well, I hate to tell you this, and it might not sound very nice, but they don't give two shits what you like. It is true. Trust me, I work there. They don't care. They pick a guy and they shove him down your throat.
Yeah.
They don't care what you like. They don't care what he likes. They don't care what he likes. It's who they want to push. They see a guy and they're like, oh, let's push him. You know, you guys see it.
Yeah.
Look at Jinder Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big tour of India coming up. Who's the champion? Right? You know what I'm saying? That's how it is. It's business. They got to make money. That's how they do it. It's like anything else, like I said. But they know no matter what they do, there's going to be a percentage of fans that always watch it. So they're counting on that every week to go to their sponsors and their commercial people and sell their time on TV. And it's just the business. Look at the network.
Yeah.
The WWE network's like giving away pay-per-views for free. You pay $10 a month. The pay-per-view is like $60 or $80, right? Something like that. That's what I'm saying.
We have Dish. Why don't they come out with a WWE channel?
Well, that's probably going to happen.
Good. Yeah. I hope so.
Seriously, that's...
Because they took the best part and put it on the WWE network.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, don't be surprised within the next 5 years if that happens. Because there's a lot of stations leaving Direct now.
Yeah.
They all just left. So where are they going to go? They're going to get another network. If it's not Dish... It'll be YouTube or...
I want it to be Dish.
You know what I'm saying? Dish is great. I love Dish. I have Dish.
I
love Dish. But yeah, I mean, there's always going to be a place for it, no matter what happens. Because there's a hardcore group of the population that loves it no matter what. I mean, I'm on the WWE Network all the time. I got people, oh, I saw you on the WWE Network. I saw you on that. I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You know how much I get for it? Nice fat goose egg. Mm-hmm. I get nothing.
So you don't even get still gratuities or anything?
Not from the network.
See, now they say that when you all do those videotapes or whatever like that, you all...
Home video, I still get royalties on, action figures, all that kind of stuff. But the network, I get nothing.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
That's probably why they went to the network.
Yeah, I still get a royalty check every, well, 4 times a year, but, you know... It's a lot less substantial than it used to be because the network. I mean, anybody yeah. with any common sense is going to spend $10 a month over $60 a month to get the pay-per-view. And then you get all the other programming. It's a no-brainer. And that's what they're banking on. They're banking on statistics. Just like Planet Fitness. You think all those people go to Planet Fitness that are signed up for Planet Fitness? Hell no. They just want your checking account number so they can take the $10 out every month. They don't give a shit if you show up or not. They just want their $10. Right? Right. Yeah. Don't be fooled by the whole, you know, they don't care if you like it or if you don't like it. Don't be fooled. They're still going to put out a show. They're still going to have the network. They're still going to have pay-per-views. WrestleMania is still going to be the top-selling special sports event for the year. Every year, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. No matter whether there's 5 million people a week watching it or 2 million people a week watching it. WrestleMania is always the biggest pay-per-view in the history of pay-per-view. Every year.
This year's is going to be probably 7 hours long.
Yeah.
There's like 17 matches that are projected.
So no matter what happens, it's always going to happen. WrestleMania is always going to be the top thing. No matter what. It's just how it is. Why do you think Undertaker keeps coming back every year? He's not stupid.
Because he sells tickets.
Exactly. And they give him probably a couple mil to show up for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he works 3 weeks to lead up to it. You know what I'm saying? Who wouldn't do it? You can't knock the guy.
Yeah.
I'd do it. Hell. I'd work 6 months for $1 million. Right? Who won it?
It's a year for $1 million.
It's common sense. Yeah. Like, I don't knock the guy.
How do you think they got rid of the WWE magazine? We used to subscribe to it.
You know, I never really heard a valid reason on that. I think it was just kind of they were condensing the product and leaning more towards the network. Because if you have all the stuff on the network but still have a magazine, it's kind of six in one, half dozen in the other.
Website,
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think their website kind of took off with higher traffic. That's just
I think it's more
world.
Fiscal.
Yeah.
I think it has more to do with just unique viewers and commercial time and selling the network to sponsors. I mean, that stuff's big. Their TV deal is their biggest moneymaker.
Everybody know about the Fox deal for SmackDown?
Yeah, they're moving to Fox.
What?
SmackDown's leaving
back to Thursday night too, I think. Right?
Back to Friday night. Yeah, starting in October, SmackDown will be on Friday nights on the Fox network. That was a big money deal that Vince got here last year.
Everything revolves around TV, guys.
Yeah.
As long as they have the sponsors to pay for the commercial time, it's always going to be like that.
But why
do
they keep moving?
That's why.
The Fox offered $1.2 billion. Where USA was only paying them like $500 million.
A lot of people don't have the internet, they don't have computers, so.
Well, social media is kind of the big thing now. So WWE puts up a little graphic every week. We were more hits on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram than NFL and NBA, blah, 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 combined. They do it every week.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have a question? We're almost out of time. No? Okay. All right.
What do you think about when Vince did a pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia and a lot of wrestlers wouldn't go and there was a lot of women in the wrestlers?
Well, if you noticed, they haven't really mentioned much about Saudi Arabia after that, did they?
He did it for the money.
Well, that's why, because if someone threw $40 billion in front of you, you're going to make a show happen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not, what's the religion over there?
Muslim.
Yeah, I'm not Muslim, so I don't live by their laws. I would've went. Well, last time I checked, I'm not a woman. And I've only dressed up like one a few times.
Yeah. I think their PC answer is that's something they want to change. Yeah. They're trying to get the country to change their ways and let women do more stuff. So
it'll be bigger in China before it's in the Middle East. They're really hitting, like, from what I've been hearing, they're really focusing on like the Far East, China, Japan, all that kind of stuff. That's where the money's at. Because think about the population there; it's 10 times the population of the United States. So if you get a third of them to watch wrestling, do the math.
Yeah.
You know? Ultimately comes down to the almighty buck. And unfortunately, the wrestling could be the worst wrestling you ever watch. But if they got the sponsorship deals and the commercial deals and the television deals, that's what they're going to put on TV. No way around it. You know?
Do you still watch it every week?
I DVR it, and if I see somebody I know or see something that slightly interests me, I'll start watching it. And if I lose interest in 5 seconds, fast forward.
Yeah.
I have a short attention span. That's why my wife has like 30 wigs. God, this is a slow crowd. Get it? Variety 30 wigs. She could dress up a different wig every night.
The cosplayer should have got that one up there.
I know, right? We are at a cosplay convention.
Yeah. Last, one. Make it good.
Where are we at? I'll work with anybody as long as they're experienced to the WWE level. Because you see a lot of guys now, like when you do indies, the promoter will be like, hey, can you work with this guy? He's my new guy. Just help him along, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nah. No offense, but I'm not risking my safety and health over some guy for $1,000. Ain't gonna happen. I have a business to run. I got a house to pay for, a Jeep to pay for. You know what I mean? Bills to pay. If I get hurt wrestling some schmuck at an indie show, who's paying my bills? You know what I'm saying? So in this point in my career, I'm very particular on who I work with or for, because I have too much to lose. Like I said, this is my 21st year of doing this. I've been around the block a few times. I know the ins and outs of it. I don't need to do it, per se. I enjoy doing it because I like the fans and I like the interaction and the theatrics of it and the entertainment. But do I need to drive 3 hours to sit at a bingo hall in New York? No, I don't. So when they asked me to work a guy that I never even heard of or is 6 months out of training, I'm like, no, sorry. I mean, it's just the brutal reality of the business, you know? I'm a businessman now. I have to do what's best for me and pay my bills.
If you don't, you're one way.
And you know what? It's not my fault.
Sorry.
See how I snuck that in there right at the end?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, everybody, big it up for Big G.
Well, you guys, thanks for coming out. I really appreciate the fans. Thank you guys. Appreciate you sitting through all my silliness.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this Gene Snitsky Q&A panel. Again, I do apologize for the quality of the audio. I tried to boost the questions the best I could. This is, I hope, something that a lot of you wrestling fans got a kick out of. And if you want to find out more about Gene Snitsky, if there's any website, meaning if he has a website or any Facebook pages, they will be linked in the usual spots in the show description. As per our usual rhetoric at the end of the show, you can find us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. If you want to join in the conversation or have any questions yourself, you can always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Again, that's longcoatmafia@gmail.com. You can also message us on Facebook. We do have a Twitter account and an Instagram account. Both of those share the same handle, and that's Longcoat Mafia. You can also leave a direct message on either one of those. We are streaming now more on Mixer.com because it's easy for us because we have an Xbox One. And our Mixer channel is, where to find us on Mixer is Mixer.com/LCMP, and those letters are in caps. We do have a YouTube channel. And that YouTube channel, to find us there, you have to do a search for Long Coat Mafia Podcast, because we don't have that many subscribers to be allowed to change to an official channel name. So, please help us out by hitting that subscribe, going over to our YouTube channel, hitting that subscribe button. While you're there, watch a couple of videos, leave a like, and I also suggest that also liking our Facebook page, again, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast, because we tend to put exclusive videos both on YouTube and on Facebook, meaning that if I deem a video way too long to be on Facebook, or sometimes I just want to put stuff on YouTube, they become YouTube exclusives. Or if I think that YouTube is going to kind of be too much of a hassle for a video, I'll make it a Facebook exclusive. So please like and subscribe both our Facebook page and our YouTube page. That way you're gaining all the content as possible when it comes to what we've been doing, where any videos we take, and so forth and so on. Same thing with our Instagram and our Twitter. We tend to be more active on both Twitter and Instagram sometimes. What else? As per finding our podcast, if you're somebody that's always on the move, you could find us in the usual spots, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, the Stitcher Radio app, the Spotify app, as well as the Podbean app, as where podcasts are found. I do recommend the Podbean app because it allows you to go all the way back to our earlier episodes. So, and besides, if Apple Podcasts or Google Play tends to get a little finicky, at least that way you have a backup. If you listen to us on a desktop computer or a laptop computer instead, or if you want to listen to us on a desktop or a laptop computer, we are found on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Now, there you can find out some more about us. There are links to our Twitter and our Facebook, and I think our YouTube page is there too. I might have to update that for our YouTube channel. And while you're on our main website, you can see our many co-hosts that we that come in from time to time and that we use. And you can listen to go all the way back to the beginning, download any episode you want from our past, see how far we come, and that way, and you can listen to it in your player of choice. That seems to be about it. I do recommend bookmarking our webpage, though, because that way, if iTunes or one of the other programs tend to screw up in regards to getting our show, that way you're able to still get it. That seems to be about it. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And we will see you next week, and hopefully it will be a hostful. So, good night, folks, and I hope you enjoyed WrestleMania.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.